So I just wanted to say, I'm so thankful that whoever gives the announcements around here does a fantastic job. I mean, I really think that I know everything that's coming up and when it's going to happen, and that's just awesome. Captive audiences are special, aren't they? I can make all these terrible jokes up here, and you guys just have to sit there and nod and smile, right? I can't help myself. But on a serious note, I wanted to share with you, before I pray, before we get to the message, I just want to share with you how the Lord put this message today on my heart. And so the inspiration for preaching this passage comes from two places. First, my missions class that I recently wrapped up at the end of my first semester of seminary, right? So many of you have asked me how seminary is going. I really appreciate that. I appreciate all of your support. It's going great. And so in my missions class, man, it really blew my mind as we dug into the Old Testament and for the evidence and for the support of missions and how God is a God of missions. And so a lot of this today came from that. The second inspiration of how the Lord just used other people, right, to lead me to today's message was a sermon, a message by David Platt on missions some time ago. And so a lot of the passages that I'll reference today come from my missions class and from David Platt's message. And so I just want to give credit where credit's due. I'm so thankful for the godly influences I have in my life, right, that God has blessed me with. So I'm excited to jump into God's Word with you this morning. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, God, for the year that we've had. Father, you have blessed us, and you have blessed us, and you have blessed us. And God, sometimes those blessings don't quite look like blessings, but Lord, we know that you are working all things for our good. And so, Father, we ask now that you continue to bless us on this final Sunday of 2024. God, that as we dig into your word, that you challenge us, that you call us on our sin. God, that you challenge us on being comfortable. Father, we ask that you make us more like you as we hear your word and we respond to your word this morning. So God, I ask above all else, Lord, that you get the glory. God, that it's not me up here, but that it's you speaking to us directly, calling us and encouraging us through our sin. So Father, we ask that you be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in a sense, today's passage is really, really simple. It contains one primary overarching truth that's critical to our understanding of life as Christians and as people. This truth is this: that God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among all peoples. God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among all peoples. But this morning, I want to highlight a potential disconnect between this passage and the church, right? Big C church, the global church. I want to highlight a potential disconnect between this passage and our church. I want to highlight a potential disconnect between our 2024 and how we spent it and today's passage. My prayer this morning is that we realize this disconnect today, and that God shows us how to reconnect his truth with our lives. That's my goal. So, find in your Bible this morning Psalm 67. Psalm 67. And once you're there, go ahead and rise to your feet as we honor the reading of God's word. Psalm 67 says this: may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with iniquity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You may be seated. God judges the people with equity, not iniquity. Just wanted to clarify. So for those unfamiliar with the book of Psalms, I took this book introduction straight out of the ESV Bible, and so I'm going to read it for you today. It says this: the book of Psalms is filled with the songs and prayers offered to God by the nation of Israel. Their expressions of praise, faith, sorrow, and frustration cover the range of human emotions. Some of the Psalms dwell on the treasure of wisdom and God's word. Others reveal the troubled heart of a mourner. Still others explode with praise to God and invite others to join in song. This diversity is unified by one element. They are centered upon the one and only living God. This Creator God is King of all the earth and a refuge to all who trust in Him. And many of the Psalms are attributed to King David. The writing and collection of the Psalms into their present form spans the 15th to the 3rd centuries before Christ. All right, so it's a book of songs crying out to and praising God. And today we're going to be looking at the 67th Psalm in particular. Now, if you look in your Bibles, you'll likely see before verse 1, it says this. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. So let's dig into this song to see what it's all about this morning. So as I said earlier, just a moment ago, Psalm 67 is straightforward. It contains one critical truth for our lives as Christians, that God blesses His people for the sake of His praise and His glory among all peoples. So let's not forget that. So let's get into the text. Go back, look at verse 1 with me now. So verse 1, if it sounds familiar, if it looks familiar, you've probably heard some songs around it, but it's actually quoting Deuteronomy, right? So, Numbers. It's actually quoting Numbers. So in Numbers 6, 24 through 26, it's quoting this high priestly blessing that Israelites would come to the high priest and they'd get this blessing, and it says this. The high priest would say, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. So again, this is a song, and it's directly quoting Scripture, and it's interesting to see how Scripture quotes Scripture throughout God's Word. I think it's truly amazing. And so this petition, this request, right, that the high priest is giving, it says, may God be gracious to you. Man, that's like asking God to show you, an unworthy sinner, unmerited love and undeserved compassion. It's asking God not only not to give you what you deserve, right, which is condemnation, but it's to give you what you don't deserve, which is mercy. Further down in verse 1, may God bless you. Again, it's a request for God to show compassion towards us, despite our unworthiness of it. Asking for God to make His face shine upon us is only possible through God's unrelenting love and patience towards us. But you see, at the end of verse 1, there's a pause. It's in the middle of a sentence, and it says, Selah. In which you read it, but you didn't hear me say it when I read the text. And that's because it's not meant to be read out loud. Right, it's actually a Hebrew term in the middle of this English translation. Right, so this is the English Standard Version that I'm preaching out of. It's an English Bible, and yet we have this Hebrew word, Selah, right here in the middle. Why do you guys think that is? Well, really and truthfully, there's no good English equivalent. Right, it just is what it is. It's Selah, and it's basically a musical term that signifies a pause. So it's likely geared to those who are playing the instruments, who would need this pause as they were singing and as they were praising God. And so Selah is this reverent pause. In my first sermon ever, which was the same time last year, it's crazy to think about, in my notes, I put in big brackets, pause here, right? Because I knew I was going to be super, super nervous, right? And I was going to be talking a mile a minute, and I needed really to just to slow down. Now, in my mind, I like to say, man, you know what? Let them soak it up. They're probably marveling at how profound I truly am. Right? Let's give it a minute to sink in. But in reality, it was because I was incredibly nervous, I was excited, and I knew I was going to be talking really fast. So I had to put this pause in. And man, that's exactly what Selah does in this psalm. It gives us a pause to let us soak it in. So we see here in verse 1, kind of ending verse 1 and beginning verse 2, it's not a period, it's a pause. Right? We don't simply ask for God's blessings and then move on. Like, if you see here, the thought is unfinished. We ask for God's blessings and then there's a pause. And then after this pause, the most important word in this psalm comes in. It's the first word of verse 2, that. Now, if you're reading in the CSB translation, it has so that, to make it a little bit easier to read. So apparently, God has a purpose for all of those blessings in verse 1. It's so that, and then verse 2 reads, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. All the blessings and the grace of verse 1 is so that God's name and ways may be known on the entire earth. God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among all peoples. He blesses so that his saving power might be made known among the nations, all of them. And this is kind of the story of my life, right? I have reaped all the blessings of a transformed life, and God saved me from my sins, and he blessed me, right? He delivered me from evil. He gave me a beautiful wife and allowed me to have a family. But I was stuck on verse 1. Man, God has blessed me, and God is so good to me. And I was just basking in the goodness that he had shown me. But then one day, he reminded me of verse 2. That he had given me all of these wonderful things and these blessings so that his name may be glorified. So God led me to leave my job, and I surrendered to the call of pastoral ministry. And it's been great, right? And I finally found this contentment in being obedient to God's calling on my life. Rather than just being stuck in just relishing in God's goodness and grace towards me, he's enabled me to act on it, to bring his glory to others. And guess what? That means you guys are just stuck with me now. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So God is a God of the nations. And he always has been. And when I was in my Old Testament class in seminary, that's kind of what blew my mind, right? And again, it's not that God has ever changed, because God doesn't. He's the same God today as he was then, and the same God that he will be when he comes back. But some people think that God shifted his priorities, right? That Israel was his sole people and his sole purpose, but then when they just didn't work out, they didn't pan out, he kind of just scooted them over, and he's like, you know what? I've got plan B, Jesus. And so he shifted from just his people to the rest of the world. Well, no, that's not it, right? God has always been a people, or God has always been a God of all peoples. Israel's entire purpose was to demonstrate God's holiness and God's glory to all nations. But don't take my word for it. So today I'm going to kind of go through a survey of the Old and New Testaments to testify to this point. So we're going to get into God's word, and we're going to look to the Bible for some guidance, some wisdom, and some truth. And so the Old Testament bears witness to this key truth. So let's take a look. Let's start with the patriarchs, right? The male leaders that God covenanted with, and we're going to start with Abraham. And so in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God made the following promises to the father of the people of Israel. It's this: go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God chose to bless Abraham so that he might be a conduit of his glory to all nations. To Isaac, Abraham's son, God said this. He said, I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give your offspring all these lands, and the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. Genesis 26, verse 4. To Jacob, Abraham's grandson, God said this, "Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out towards the west and the east and the north and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." Genesis 28, verse 14. You guys seen a pattern? All right, let's talk about the Exodus account. When God delivered his people from Egypt, he declared this, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Then I will receive glory by means of Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." Exodus 14, verse 4. So God had brought his people out of slavery and all the way to the edge of the Red Sea, where they were kind of stuck. Right? And you don't have to be a military strategist to know that that's not really a good idea. With the Egyptians hot on their heels and their big chariots with all their horses, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Why did God do that, right? God had just performed this miraculous exodus out of Egypt, and they got so far, and yet not far at all. They're about to be overtaken. God did this so that he would gain glory for himself among the Egyptians, right? To erase any shadow of a doubt that it was actually Moses and Aaron leading the people. No, it was God and God alone. So the Egyptians found out that God is the Lord the hard way. Right? So as God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites walked on dry ground through it, they looked over their shoulders and saw the Egyptians being pummeled, right? Swallowed up. God blesses his people for the glory, for his glory, and for his praise among all people. Okay, so the giving of the law. How in the world can the giving of the law to the Israelites be about God's glory to all people? Well, let's see. Moses, writing in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, says this. He said, "Look, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God has commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land that you are entering to possess. Carefully follow them, for this will show your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples. When they hear about all these statutes, they will say, 'This great nation is indeed a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call to him? What great nation has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire law I set before you today?'" You see, God gave Israel the law so that they followed his commandments. They would show his goodness and his wisdom to everyone around them. In other words, God gave Israel his law for the sake of his praise among all peoples. All right, let's talk about taking the promised land. We're going through the Old Testament, right? How in the world could this possibly be missional? Israel taking and killing and defeating people who are already living there. Well, let's see. Once Israel finally made it to the promised land, it took them a while, but they're now under Joshua's leadership. They're going to take it, right? And the biggest obstacle in their way is this massive fortified city of Jericho. Of the various military options to take a big city with a big wall, none of them include walking around it, and playing music, and shouting. Right? So again, why does God do this? What an odd plan, right? If you're a commander of an army, this is a strange battle plan. But again, Joshua was commanded that the priest blow trumpets and the people shout really loud. Why is that? It's so that without a shadow of a doubt, it wasn't the Israelites that were doing this, it was God who was delivering his people. And that God alone would get the glory for the outcome. And that all of the nations around saw that God is in control and God is the God of the Israelites. What about after the Israelites were kicked out and when they were in exile? We see a similar theme in Daniel chapter 3 in the well-known story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You guys probably know this one. So why in the world would God let three Hebrew boys who are just worshiping him, be thrown into a fiery furnace? Well, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego spend some time in the furnace and they walk out like nothing happened, King Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king of Babylon, praised God. He said this, "For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this." Daniel 3, 29. Likewise, when God delivered Daniel from the lion's den later, King Darius, yet another pagan king, decreed that everyone in his kingdom must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. That's Daniel 6, 26. Once again, God is blessing his people for his glory. Now, Israel was supposed to be a beacon of light to the world, but they, being sinners, they failed at this task. But where Israel failed, Jesus ultimately prevailed. So the New Testament bears witness to this key truth as well. And this truth is that God blesses his people for his praise among all the peoples of the earth. Don't lose that. So when we get to the end of the gospel accounts, Jesus tells his disciples, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Right? The Great Commission. Similarly, Luke's gospel teaches that Jesus died and rose again so that the repentance and forgiveness of sins, and I quote, would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Luke 24, 47. Luke picks up that same story in Acts chapter 1. As Jesus promises his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Why? You will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. This worldwide gospel witness is actually what we see in the rest of the New Testament. Right? These disciples, these apostles, being obedient to their Lord's call to go to the nations to proclaim his name. Paul tells the church in Galatia that God revealed Jesus to him so that I could preach him among the Gentiles. That's 1 Galatians chapter 1, 16. To the church at Rome, Paul says, my aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named. That's Romans 15, 20. There were peoples who were not praising God, and God had called Paul to go and tell them about Jesus. That is what God had ordained Paul to do. And Paul was obedient. This is still the mission of the church today, to go to the ends of the earth like we watched at the Lottie Moon video. Now, you guys might be wondering, what does Psalm 67 mean for my life? Right? I've just given you an entire survey, or a survey of the entire Bible, and we've zoned in on this key truth. But what do we do about that, right? That's good to know. It's cool to see that God has always been a God of the nations, always been a God of all the peoples. But what do we do about that? And the answer to that question is really important. It's not just for information. It's not just to say, oh, that's cool, right? Or it's not just like when you're having coffee with your friends, did you know that God has been a God of the peoples always and forever? I do like to you know, throw out random facts like that, you know, at my wife who just rolls her eyes at me. But it's not just for fun facts. In light of this truth, we have one reality, that God has called you to glorify his name and he has blessed you to fulfill your calling. Let me repeat that. God has called you to glorify his name to all peoples, and God has blessed you to fulfill that very calling. Look with me again at verses 3 through 6. It says this, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Man, I'll tell you what, verses 3 through 5, that's our prayer. God be made known to all the earth. But how do we get there? How do we get to the point where all the peoples on planet earth are worshiping and praising God? Romans 10, 14 through 15 says this. It says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Verse 6 says, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. And I want to say, guys, God indeed has blessed us. He's blessed all of us here in this room. He's blessed us by saving us. He's blessed us by forgiving us. He's blessed us by giving us a new life. He's given us new spiritual gifts. He's the ability just to serve our church. He's blessed us. He's blessed us financially. He's blessed us physically. He's blessed us through trial and hardship. Maybe sometimes they don't feel like blessings, but he's blessed us. And through these blessings, we are equipped to serve not only the local church, but the global church. I want you guys to see that. We're equipped to make disciples of all nations through this blessing. And God has truly and indeed blessed us. This psalm must be a constant prayer on our hearts and on our lips. And this purpose, right, not just for fun facts, but to live this truth must captivate our lives. Right, Jesus gives us not only a great commission at the end of Matthew to go and make disciples of all nations, but he calls us to use our blessings to reach the lost, to glorify his name. Look back at the text with me on this final verse of Psalm 67. Verse 7 says, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So, church, God has called us, and he's blessed us, and he's equipped us to go. And yet, all the earth doesn't praise and fear or even know God. And there's a disconnect there. Right, something's not adding up that he's called us, and he's equipped us, and he's blessed us, and everything's right. And yet the nations don't know God. Why is that? Well, I think it's a few reasons, but I think we forget that God is a God of all people. I think subconsciously we quickly make God our God. Right? That God has saved me. God's been so good to me. God has delivered me. He saved me from my life and from my addictions. He's drastically changed the trajectory in my life, and he's blessed me. He's given me so much, and now I live for him and his goodness. And those are all true. They're very true, and they're very good. That's the first part of verse 7, after all, right? It says, God shall bless us. But we're missing that second part. And that second part is, let all the ends of the earth fear him. We're missing that so that from verse 2. That God has done all of these things so that he may be glorified here and throughout the world. It's not just about what he's done, but it's about telling others about what he's done. It's reaching the lost. Now that's our purpose. That's our purpose. And we've been called, we've been equipped, we've been blessed to do that. And yet, there are unreached people out there. There are unreached people out there. According to the Joshua Project, out of more than 17,000 people groups in the world, over 7,000 of those people groups have never heard the gospel. And as I said during the announcements, over 5,000 of those 7,000 are in Asia and Asia alone. That's over 3 billion people who have never heard the gospel. It's not like they've heard it and rejected it. It's that they've never even heard it. They've never even heard it. And the primary reason, I think, and it seems, they haven't heard the gospel is because we who have the gospel are content or comfortable. We spend most of our time and our money on ourselves and on our church and on our ministries here, never realizing that God has blessed us greatly for a greater purpose. If you want to step up and step out onto mission, I've got some opportunities for you. Right? We've got our Kenya team going out in July, and that's going to a Hero Kenya, where we're going to be building homes through Baptist on Missions Houses of Hope initiative. Where we're going to be there for 11 days. And right now we have one team, but if we only get a few more sign-ups, we'll have two teams and be able to have twice the impact, build twice as many houses for people in need in Africa. I want you guys to join us. Right? You've been blessed, you've been called, you've been equipped. It's time to go. If Kenya doesn't work, get with me. Get with Pastor Bob. Get with Wanda Truesdale, our missions coordinator. We can build and create missions opportunities throughout the year. We're called to go, but we all don't. And this is a hard reality. This is something that we have to wrestle with, church. God has called us to share the gospel. Now, maybe the Lord isn't calling you to Kenya or another foreign mission trip. And that's okay, right? Because there are thousands of people who have never heard the gospel right here. There are unreached people right here in Brunswick County. So as part of that missions class I've referenced, my final practicum was a couple different things, but one part of this practicum was to go to a place of worship of another faith. And so, just out of practicality and convenience, I went to the closest Buddhist temple we have, and that's right there in Southport. And so I went to this Buddhist temple and had a wonderful conversation with the monk there. He was from Taiwan, and he was about 70 years old. And we had a wonderful conversation where I was able to share the gospel with him, kind of go back and forth with him a little bit, share some of my testimony. But during that fruitful conversation, I learned that they have 200 to 300 people who regularly and routinely go there to support the monks. Because as a Buddhist monk, you can't take anything, you can only receive, right? So they're dependent on their congregation, if you'll call them that, to feed them, to provide for them. And they have 200 to 300 people there on a monthly basis. So right here in Brunswick County, we have north of 200 people who've likely never heard the gospel. This demographic, this people group, they likely have not been exposed to the gospel, right? They work at Asian restaurants. They work at nail salons. They don't interact with other people. Most of them can't speak English at all. Some of them can, but not very well. Right here in Brunswick County, there are people that are lost. And those Buddhists in Southport, they're not alone. There's a Hindu temple in Wilmington. There are mosques in Wilmington and Myrtle Beach. There are cultural Christians in our families, at our jobs, with us here this morning. Right? They think that they're good to go, but they're not. They're dead where they stand. They're in desperate need of the saving grace of our God. So guys, if you can't go to Kenya, the mission field is here. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We don't have time to sit back and rest in God's grace and in our comfort. God has given us so much, and all of that is for the purpose of proclaiming his name to those here and afar. It's the purpose of making his glory known among all peoples. So today, my prayer is that we can connect God's blessings in our lives with God's purpose for our lives. That we reconnect God's truth with our reality. So, as I close, and this is my closing call, I just want to tell you, God has always been a God of the nations, a God of all peoples. But what about us? Are we really known as a church on mission for Christ? Think on that one. This past year, have we truly used our blessings that God has given us to reach the unreached, here in Brunswick County or afar? If we had to measure the time and the effort and the money that we spent on ourselves versus the time and the effort and the energy spent on reaching the lost, how would those two stack up? Right? And the year's not over. We've got a couple more days. But look back. How did you live your life in 2024? Now, there are some of us that can boldly say that they live their lives on mission for Christ. But for a lot of us, the answer is probably not so good. God has called us. He's blessed us. So where is the disconnect? The year is over. Our church, is it known as a church on mission for Christ? Or is it known as a church that just feeds itself? That's a tough question. In 2025, will you accept God's truth and go? Will you reconnect the truth that God is a God of blessings and of mercy, and He's wonderful, and He's been wonderful to us, but for a purpose? And that purpose is for us to go and tell everybody about it. It's that simple. My challenge for you all today: there's one truth, there's one reality. Don't let those two be disconnected, right? Live 2025 connected with this truth to go and make disciples of all nations. And so here in Brunswick County, or in Kenya, or on another mission trip, if you can't go, give. Give as the Lord has blessed you and equipped you. If you can't give money, give your time, give your testimony, pour into those that can, right? Build up the body. All right, we have in this room right now people that can go but can't afford to. On the opposite end of that, we have people that can't go but they can afford to send somebody. And we have people in this room that can't do either of those, but they can pray for them, they can encourage them, they can support them in their going. Think about that, right? Collectively, God has blessed us to fill in all of the cracks. Where one of us is short, there's another that can support us and go on mission. We've been richly blessed and equipped to share the gospel as a congregation. And so what's so wonderful about a church family is that together, we're stronger than just on our own. We've all been called. We've all been commissioned. We've all been blessed so that we can go and give our lives to the spreading of God's word. So let's do it. Right? Let's reconnect God's truth and live 2025 on mission. Now, there are some of you in the room, right? You're probably thinking, Pastor Kevin, there's no way, right? Like, I can't go on mission to Kenya because I don't even know if the Bible is true. Right? How in the world could I go to Kenya and preach the gospel when I have these doubts and I'm not sure? I don't know. That's okay. Right? God is calling you where you are. God is calling you to belief. And so there's likely someone in this room that knows that they're not saved. That's okay. Today, God is calling you to repentance. God is calling all of us to obedience. And that obedience looks different for different folks. Right? Some of us need to recognize that we are not God and that He is. And some of us need to recognize that God has blessed us richly and we're doing nothing about it. We're going to move into a time of response. I'm going to pray. And in this time of response, I want you guys to wrestle with that. I want you guys to look back at 2024 and remember all that God has blessed you with. And then I want you guys to pray and to ask God to show you how you can reconnect with His truth and go and make disciples of all nations, whether that's here in Brunswick County or if it's afar. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful. God, for your blessings and your power and your glory and your majesty. And God, that you, out of love, have shown us mercy, have shown us grace, that you have blessed us despite our unworthiness of it. God, that it's not that we loved you, but it's that you loved us. You made the first move when you sent your son, Jesus. And God, it's by Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection God, that you have made us a way to come to you, to be right with you. So, Father, we are so thankful, God, that because of your great love for us and through our faith in you, that we are in good standing with you. And God, that is a blessing that nothing else can compare to. It's the greatest gift ever given, God, and we're so thankful for it. But God, there are some people in the room, Lord, and they just can't say the same. And Father, I ask right now for those who don't know you as Lord, they don't know that great gift. God, that you draw them close to you now. God, that you invite them to surrender all, to lay themselves down at the foot of the cross, to recognize that no gift will ever live up to your salvation and your grace and your mercy. Father, call us all to repentance. Call us all to obedience today. God, as we prepare to sing and to take some quiet time of solemn contemplation, God, speak to us. God, remind us of all the blessings that you've given us and how you've prepared us and equipped us to go. And God, call us on our not going. God, speak to us. Give us some direction in how we can be obedient to you in 2025 and go to all the nations and make disciples. Father, we're so thankful, God, that you have us here. We're thankful for your word, that God, your word calls us on our sin and encourages us. And it guides our lives. God, we're so thankful that we have it. And we're thankful that we have you within us to lead us as you will. Father, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.